I know me. I know me. And I know what he set me free from and what he gave me as life. Wonderful thing. If you've got a Bible with you this morning, and if you have glasses, I'm going to steal my wife's because I am secure in my manlyhood enough to do that. And I've forgotten mine. So, and Danny needs his because he needs to. He does. Yeah, they are. Excellent. Yeah. They're rather fetching, I think. Okay, Daniel. No, sorry. 1 Samuel 16. So we've been looking at some characteristics that are listed about David that takes him from being a shepherd boy in the olive groves to being the king in the palace and leading a nation. And they are incredible things. It says that he's a talented young man. We understand that talent isn't enough. He says that he's brave, that he's a warrior. He has a warrior heart of God. So it's 1 Samuel 16 and verse 18 is where we're going. So that's 1 Samuel 16, 18. It says he's a man of war. It says that he's a good judge and he has good judgment and he's a fine-looking young man. Remember, Randy? Fine-looking young man. And all of those are great things, but right at the end of the list, this is what it says. It says, and the Lord is with him. What a great statement. And the Lord is with him. He's a good-looking kid, fine-looking, great countenance. We talked about countenance, that old-fashioned word last week, how it does things to more than just your face. But it says the Lord is with him. It's a great, great, great statement to make. My question when I read that is this. How do they know? He hasn't done anything yet. Right? He's just been a shepherd boy. Like, is he wearing a what would Jesus do bracelet? Is he wearing a Young Life t-shirt? Like, is he? Young Life t-shirt, you wouldn't see in a stained glass window, or a Jesus bracelet. But you see halos, and you think if he was walking around with a halo and maybe glowing in the dark a bit, not even a lot, but just a bit, or surrounded by fat, naked babies, you know, playing harps as they went around his head, maybe they would know then that God was with him. But we know none of those things actually happened. But still they say the Lord is with him. Now you've got to remember, way back in verse 11, this is the kid that didn't even get invited back home when the man of God came to visit their house. They left him out in the field. So you would think that if everybody knew that God was with him, that he would be one of the people they would want in the house. You see, so that it must have been obvious to some people and not so obvious to others. But the guy that's giving this report is saying, God is with this kid. It's a great thing. Now, as David is watching the sheep and the goats, because he looks after both. Remember, that's one of his character traits. He looks after sheep and goats. And in the Bible, sheep and goats designates people of faith and people who don't have faith. But when David is shepherd, he looks after both. Sheep and goats. It's a great, great character trait that he has. Doesn't just care for the people who have the right answers. He cares for the people who are as lost as goats, right? He's and stubborn as goats. He cares for them all. And so as he's caring for the sheep and goats, what is David doing? Now, it doesn't tell you in the text, actually. So you've got to switch on your God-given brain, right? Or in our case, the family brain cell, which Miriam has most of the time. You got to think. So what's David doing when he's out looking after the sheep and the goats? Begins with huh and ends with arp. Yeah. He's out there strumming on his guitar. He's out there playing his harp. How do we know that? Because he sings. Where do you think he practiced?
where he's watching the sheep and the goats. He's singing. Why? To keep the bears away, to keep the lions away. He's out there singing. Now, we were talking the other day to a guy in Grimms who was going to go out fishing out by the camp. And we said, well, there might be a lot of bears out there. And he said, well, if I sing, it will keep them away. Well, it might. Depends how bad a singer you are. But like David is out there singing and he's making noise on this harp. And David is singing songs to God and praising God that he will later write down as psalms. You see, as a shepherd boy, writing stuff down is too expensive for him. He can't afford parchment. He can't afford the writing materials to do that. It's only when he becomes a king that he actually has the ability to have a scribe to write this stuff down. It's so expensive to write. So he's out there singing the stuff that's in his heart. And so when he becomes the king, and when he has the ability to get stuff written down for him, he tells all the stuff he's been singing. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And he writes all this stuff. You're like, God, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Just wonderful stuff that he's learned and sung over and over and over again. The songs of ascent, all the way through the Psalms. And he's writing all this stuff and singing this stuff to who? A bunch of stinking sheep. And goats. And goats. Right? And do you think they understood? They go, meh. That's all they're doing. And he's out there, but what is he doing as he's doing that? He's practicing having the presence of God with him. That's what he's doing. Now, there's a whole phrase, and I think there's a book actually called Practicing the Presence. And he's out there worshiping God in the hills, worshiping God in the mountains, thanking God for rain that puts fires out. He's thanking God for all of these things. And he's doing this in the middle of the fields. And he's practicing having the presence of God with him. With him. Not just as a theory, but practicing and just knowing that God is with him. We don't. Does anybody know what quiet time is? Yeah. And I don't mean time out. Right, that's different. I wish my parents had heard of time out. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we didn't have time out. We had a belt and a slipper, right? Time out, great. I don't want to clean up my room. Okay, go and have a time out. Time out means not cleaning up my room. It doesn't mean getting hit and then cleaning up your room, right? So I'm not talking about timeouts. I'm talking about quiet time. Right now, I never heard of quiet time. Never heard of that. Probably my fault, but I was not brought up with quiet time. You don't hear it preached anymore, really, about taking time every day to quiet yourself in the presence of God, to pray, but then stop. Stop praying. Just sit and listen. Still yourself in the presence of God. And that's what David's doing with these sheep. I was actually introduced to quiet time by Miriam's dad. She doesn't know that. We've been married for 34 years. I didn't know what quiet time was. And then I went to their house, and her dad is missing at certain points in the morning. Right? He's just up there, and he's up there having quiet time. Quiet time, just him and God and his Bible. Just up there having quiet time. And then when the first time I met him, came down, and goodness knows what he thought that Miriam had dragged home. I have no idea. Poor man. And it seems like he stuck out his hand and said, "Praise the Lord." And I thought, well, praise the Lord. Well, he's keen to get rid of his daughter. Well, praise the Lord. Somebody finally came to take her off my hands and pay her bills. You know, like, but it wasn't that. That's how he greeted everybody. Everybody. Whether you were out shopping, whether you were buying petrol, what didn't matter what you were doing. When Miriam's dad met you, it would be praise the Lord. And he just grabbed your hand. Why? Because that just came out of him. Why? Because he'd been sitting in the presence of God every single day, soaking it in. And the moment he opened his mouth, it just came out. Wonderful, wonderful thing. That's just how he greeted people. Praise the Lord. He just carried he carried this presence about him. And he wasn't necessarily the most exuberant guy, but he just carried this knowledge that he had the presence of God with him. And it was the first time, really, that I'd come across that. I thought, wow, that's different. He even said praise the Lord to people he didn't like. I'll leave you to make your own conclusions about that. But it just came out of him. Why? Because he practiced the presence of God with him. And he took it everywhere he went. Every single place he went. And that's why when David goes out to chase the lion and the bear, he knows that God is with him. Why? Because he's been singing to him all day. And he's been hearing God just... We use the word something to describe God a lot, right? Like we sang this morning with the wonderful Hebrew words up there. But often we describe God not in Hebrew and not in Greek, but we describe him in English as something. I don't know, but something made me do that. I don't know, but there's something about that person. And what we're actually doing is we're describing godliness often. God qualities that turn up that we'd actually don't say, you know what, I got up this morning as I was praying, I just felt the moving of God. And you've heard me say before, like I just knew in the part of me that knows stuff. I know in my knower, right? There's a part of you that just knows stuff. I don't hear the voice of God. I don't, maybe a bad person, I don't know. But I don't hear voices. I don't hear that, but I know that I know, and in the quietness of me that knows stuff, I know when God is asking me to do something. And that's the best way I can explain. It's like it's just going, and it's not indigestion. I know that. It's just, I know, and I've learned to identify that feeling. So when David is singing, he's getting that something. Something is with him, and he knows that it's bigger than himself. That wonderful presence of God that gives him the confidence to chase down a bear, punch it smack on the nose, open its mouth, take the lamb out and run away. Or just kill it with his bare hands. Chase down a lion. And like, he knows why, because he's carrying something. He's carrying the presence of someone in his life. And so he knows with a confidence that when he goes out to face these things, that God is going to be with him. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of Smith Wigglesworth. It's a great name. Smith, great name. I don't know if anybody's expecting a child, but Smith is a good name for a boy or a girl. I'll leave that to you. Wigglesworth, not so much. But Smith Wigglesworth got on a train one day. It's a well-documented story. Got on a train one day and sat in a train carriage opposite a man. And as he sat in the train carriage, didn't say a word, just sat there. And the man threw down his paper after a while. He was going down the track. I threw down his paper, got up and looked at him and said, "Your presence convicts me." And left the carriage. Just got up and left. Walk to another carriage in the train. And you think, like, how does that happen? Why? Because he's carrying the presence of God with him. He's carrying the anointing of God in an earthen vessel. That should be in the Bible. Treasure in earthen vessels. And he carries that carries it into a train compartment. Carries the presence of God. The guy just can't sit in it. Gets and walks out. A friend of ours, an evangelist in England called Jay John, great preacher, if you want to Google some, great, great preacher, Jay. And he went to visit Mother Teresa while she was alive, bless her. And she was over there, and he went to visit her in Calcutta and did some work there and went and sat with her and had a discussion. And he said that when he came out of the meeting with her, he's been an evangelist for years, and he said as he came out of the meeting, he said, "I questioned if I was even saved." He said, after talking to her and listening to her experience of how she followed God and how God was moving in her life, he said, I came out thinking, like, am I even a Christian? Like, if that's what hearing God and doing the will of God is, I'm not sure. And he came out and said, like, why? Because she carried the presence of God with her, in her, living in her. And it's a wonderful thing. And David had that confidence about what he was doing. The Lord is with him. He's with him. Wherever he goes, God goes with him. Wherever he moves, the kingdom of God moves. There's a thought. Wherever he moves, it's like if you get an elastic band, you can do this as an experiment later on. Put an elastic band around your fingers and then move your fingers out like that. And wherever those fingers move, the kingdom of God is extended inside those elastic bands. Right? And it just spreads out and spreads out and spreads out. And David, wherever he goes, he takes that kingdom with him. We were in a church in a little town in the middle of the Derbyshire Dales. A little town called Wirksworth. You've never heard of it unless you're from that part of the world. Little town, tiny little church. And there was a girl in a wheelchair in the service, and then another little girl in the service said, "Could people pray for the girl that's in a wheelchair?" And we thought we should ask her mum, because you don't want to embarrass anybody, right? But this little girl thinks, "Wouldn't it be great if we could just pray for this other little girl who's in this wheelchair?" And so they asked her mum, and then the mum said, yeah, okay, after tonight's service, that would be great. So after the evening service, they said, we're going to pray for Alex, her name was, the girl in the wheelchair. She had a degenerative bone disease. Her bones were crumbling. So she crumpled up in this wheelchair. They had to take her every few weeks. They would take her to a special hospital to have her lowered into a bath to be washed and bathed and looked after. Terrible disease to see this kid just wasting away. And so they called for the elders of the church. elders of the church. Okay, so the elders of the church are going to come and pray the prayer of faith and over this girl. And the mum graciously brought this little girl to the front. She didn't mind. She just thought it was great for people to pray for her. And they pushed her to the front. And the elders, I haven't seen our elders do this, but the elders were doing the elders pump-up dance. You know, get some Jesus going. You know, and they're walking down, getting ready. They're getting ready to do this. And this little girl who asked if the other girl could be prayed for, pushed her way through all these people. Pushed her way through. Just reached out, put her hand on her knee, and said, Lord Jesus, please make her better. Get up then. And all the elders are going, well, it doesn't always work like that. You don't think you're an elder. Your head's not covered. You know. And she's a little kid just walking around. She just goes and puts her, oh, Jesus, please make it back. Get up then. Guess what happened? She got up. Kid gets up out of the chair. She's not very steady. She's all bent, twisted still. Pushes her wheelchair around the church. Her mother loses it, like just totally dissolves in a heap. She hasn't seen a kid walk for years, right? And she pushes the thing around. Well, a long time after that, like a few years later, we were at a barbecue in the same area. And this female human comes bounding across the field. Hair's all blowing, like a Head and Shoulders advert. You know, just hair just bounding. And she comes running across. And she goes to some people who are there. She said, you don't recognize me, do you? And they go, no. She said, I'm Alex. She said, from that day onwards, every day I just started to get better. It wasn't an instant thing. Like she said, from that day on, every day I started to get it. And we had the privilege of going to their house and having a meal with them at one point, just sitting there and thinking, how does that? Well, because some little kid isn't dumb enough to understand that she doesn't carry the presence of God, because she knows she does. She knows. And that's why the Bible often talks, unless we grab hold of this like little children, we adult it out. We just adult it out. Life makes us cynical. And there's nothing wrong with healthy cynicism. But when it adults out of us the faith of knowing that God is with me, knowing that he's with me, that has the faith of just, oh, Jesus, please make him better. Get up then. No pumping up. Just knows that you've got it, right? Just knows that you know that you know that God hears and answers prayer. And I don't understand it. I don't understand why sometimes you pray for people like that and God starts doing stuff and other times nothing. I don't understand. I don't understand that. But what I know is this, is that I should have that assurance that unless I pray for the sick, they will never be healed. And if 1 in 100 people get healed, how many people do I have to pray for one to get healed? 100. If 3% of them get healed, I've got to pray for 100 people to see 3. So I've got to pray for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people to see God move in his power. I've got to do that. But we stop. Why? But just in case it doesn't work. But what if we carry the presence of God in us? What if, just like David, the Lord is with you? Because he is. The Bible says he is, and I trust this book. I trust all 66 of them. Don't know if I trust maps, and I don't understand concordance. It's just too many characters and not enough story in there for me. But there's the rest of it is just, it's trustworthy. And David knows that God is with him. He's with him. And I wonder today, do you know if God is with you? Do I know that I know that I know that God is with me? Do I know? Do I know when I get in my car and I head down the Sea to Sky Highway? Do I know when I'm eating my lunch, when I'm doing all this? Do I know that God is with me? Like of all the characteristics that are listed in 1 Samuel 16 about David, it would be great to have "was a fine looking young man" written on your headstone. But of all of them, really? I would love it to say on my gravestone, "God was with him." Wow. Like what an end to a life, right? God was with him. God is with us. Is God with you? Would you like him to be? Right? They're just simple questions. Do I know that I know that I know that God is with me? Do I want him to be? Do I want him to be? So stand with me, if you will, and let's pray. And we're also going to pray for Natasha. We don't want to drag you out here and embarrass you, but we're going to pray for Natasha and Jared and the kids and everyone else. Okay, so Father, we thank you for this incredible statement that God was with David. You were with David. And Father, we know because of the death of your Son and the resurrection of your Son and the coming of the Holy Spirit to earth that you can be with all of us, individually and corporately. We thank you that together you are with us, but we thank you also that individually you can be with us. So Father, in the name of your Son, we pray today that we would have the knowledge that God is with us. And Father, we pray, God be with us. God be in us. God be part of our moving. And as we surrender ourselves again to you and ask you to fill our lives again and again and again, that we would walk around this earth in the knowledge that God is with us. And as Natasha and Jared go and they move from this valley and settle their home in a different place, we pray that you will be with them. We know you will, because you've promised you never leave us or forsake us. So we ask you to go with them, to go before them, to set things up the way they need to be set up. Give them a great church family to be part of. Give them a great body of friends who encourage them, welcome them, and let them feel secure in the knowledge that you are with them. So we bless them as they go. Look after them and keep them safe, we pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for all you're doing in us and in this valley. And everybody said, amen. Now listen, if you're here this morning and you think, I don't know that he's with me. I don't know, but I want to know. Come and see this fine looking young man here. Come and see Michael, or come and see myself, or come and see Danny, or talk to one of the musicians. Just say, how do I figure this out? Please don't leave without doing that. Or go and bug Dave and Linda at the back. Because it's so important that we know him. Okay, bless you.